Father, to give the recipe, submission of your hand, and just bless the Lord in the sharing, and we commit all this thing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Morning, brothers and sisters. I'll use this because I'm too tired to project my voice. I'm not a confident speaker, so bear with me. It's been quite a while since I've spoken. How can I do as good as Henry? I've not had a very good week of sleep. I've just moved to my own apartment, my own place. I'm not used to the environment, I think, probably. But neither did I sleep very well last night. I stayed over at my parents' place because it's easier to get to church this morning. I suspect it's coinciding with something that happens when you go past 40 years old. And you know, you get Elder Shield in your mail, and Elder Shield at 40 years old. I thought Elder Shield is something you get at 60. So, but then I realized, oh yeah, when you turn 40, your body rhythm goes out of whack every now and then, and every now and then I just have sleepless weeks. So, but okay, let's disclaimer aside, my tiredness. Let's turn to the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 21, and this will be the title of my sharing today. Title is Job, chapter 1, verse 21. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. And the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord has given a lot to me, and I have taken as well. So, I'll share my experience. There is something that is quite deep. For me, but I'll begin on a better note and a better topic first. So he giveth. When I was young, I mean, this fellowship, you know, wanted to contribute. I always wanted to be a musician, and I picked up the guitar. I watched Christopher Gunn and Brother Paul play. I'm like, wow, that's cool to be able to produce music out of an instrument and to worship and for the Lord. So I picked it up, never went through any guitar class and learned the chords, practice. I seemed to figure out quite fast, you know, I could pick up the tone, the chord that's being played and play. Although I never advanced to the level where Brother John can play, and I cannot read notes. That's not something the Lord gave me, but it's sufficient for what we have here. So after polytechnic and basic military training, you know, if you don't know what you want to do, you graduated from school, get up in military training, and so the Lord gave me my first career in the Air Force. You're young, full of energy, and but I hated after military training, basic training. I hated the jungle. I did not want to beat mosquitoes in the jungle for at the time, I think they were only going to pay you like $300 a month. To me, that was unreasonable, $300 a month. So I joined the Air Force as a career. Thought I'd be some hotshot officer, but thank God I did not become an officer. It's not a good thing to be an officer because you do a lot of extra work. You really do a lot of work over time. So I ended up fixing aircraft. The Lord gave me that. I love the aircraft. And he even paved the way for me because, you know, my dad wanted to be aircraft tech when he was young. He didn't get it. I had to fulfill the role for him. So, after you go to the Air Force school to learn about how the aircraft systems, and then you are posted into your unit. And just because I took one module known as software engineering in polytechnic, they put me into Paya-Lebar Airbase, which is on the east, central east of Singapore, and I live in Choa Chu Kang at the time, right? So the commute is terrible. But what made it worse is that I was going to work on software for a system that is installed in the aircraft, but that's not what I want to do. I told my officer, hey, you know, I joined the Air Force to work on the plane, not sit at the desk in an office typing code, and I'm not a good coder to begin with. So, but the Lord made a way. Like many things, probably has got the Lord makes a way. So apparently, one of the guys in my batch lives in Haokang, which is very near to Paya Lebar, and he's been posted to Tengah Base, working on the plane. So he didn't like working on the plane. He'd rather be in the aircon office and nearer to home, actually. So we could swap. So I thank God for that. It was nice. Because of this opportunity, the Lord blessed me also. With 2 years, I was able to be posted to the US. Our pilots train there, so our planes are there. Because our planes are there, you need people to fix the planes. You're not going to get the Americans to do it for you. We also don't trust them, right, to fix our planes. So I had a good 2 years overseas. Learned a lot, see a lot, travel a lot. And the pay at the time for a polytechnic graduate is good. And being posted overseas for those 2 years was even better. Your pay is like double because they are going to pay you extra for all the trouble you did there. I own a car as well. Really young, I own a car. So all these things that the Lord gave me ended up being taken away. So I have to fulfill my mandatory contract for the service. I wanted to make the Air Force a long career until I grow old and retire. Maybe like Jamin, who stayed in much longer. How many years?
16.
16, right. And I was inside 8, so it's only half. So how did the Lord move me out of the Air Force? And I guess when it's happening to you, you get frustrated, but later you realize, yeah, the Lord wants me out. He doesn't want me to stay in the Air Force. I've learned what I needed to learn more in the Air Force. So what happens, how the Lord moves a person by closing the door and opening a different one, the exit door. The Air Force changes career policy, So edited it in not a very nice way, I would think. Instead of being upfront with your soldiers, telling them, yeah, we're downsizing manpower, they never said a word of that. So you had to fight tooth and nail for your next contract. This is no longer an iron bowl, which you think a government job is. It became something like styrofoam, throw away. You may go through several interviews, exams to know what you know, like pass. Until the second last one, they said, you're out. And I'm like, okay. So I crested full 10 years, but my mandatory service was up to 8, so I turned in my resignation paper. It's better to come out and try and figure something else. So when I left, I also sold my car, because that's a huge expense and you have no pay. So that's gone. And then I had a 3-year struggle to find what I wanted to do next. I wasn't sure. I tried the computer maintenance company, a test engineer, where they used to work, where they have a crazy boss. I was thinking of, you know, studying this, that. I thought of going back to university. Not back, I mean going to university to do a degree, because I only had a polytechnic diploma, and no, I looked at the mathematics and I'm like, no, I'm not going to survive, so I did not go that way. So yeah, it was a 3-year struggle between this job, that job, and as jokes were put in verse 21, the last line, blessed be the name of the Lord. So after he had taken all these things away from me, and having struggled for 3 years, he gave me something different. So I finally went back to school. I thank the support from both my parents. Wasn't sure what I would study. So one day in the MRT, there were these flyers hanging on the poles. And, you know, 3D graphics and all that stuff. Special effects, visual effects, 3D stuff. This is like 12 years ago. So I'm like, okay, I've always been impressed with all this 3D stuff, the movies or video games, so I decided to do this course. So he gave me this opportunity. At the time, the industry for these kind of things is very young in Singapore. So I found a private institution, and they were running a course from some Australian college. So I did this course for 2 years. And I was the guinea pig badge in this course as well. You could say that the course wasn't very good, to be honest. I did graduate at the end of 3 years, but I thought it wasn't really good enough. But the Lord gave me something else to see it through. So within these 2 years in this not so good degree course, I had this crazy lecturer. He's a British guy, and he was in the video games industry for quite long, and he would teach me and my class based on his own style. He doesn't follow the curriculum whatsoever. And this made the principal of this college quite angry because he doesn't do the paperwork, he's just teaching us. That's the way he is. So there was some disagreement and then he left halfway, right? Before we graduated, he left halfway. We were left lecturerless. We had no lecturer for this. And it ended up that my classmates and I, we were like learning for ourselves with whatever we can find online and books. However, I must say that this lecturer actually taught us way more than the curriculum of the school. The Lord sent him just to teach me all the little tricks that he can learn. Now, to make it even more interesting, how the Lord can use someone in the world to benefit us, to bless us. So after this 2-year course, which I know that the standard of this degree is not enough to really get employed properly. So lo and behold, a few months before graduating from this course, Singapore government ran a collaboration with DigiPen. Now DigiPen is a big video game university, so to speak, in the US. It's very well known. And they were, the graduates there usually come out top notch and straight away people from big companies will hire them because they're that good. And so what happened is, okay, we got wind of this collaboration from this crazy lecturer of mine who left, like I said, left halfway, just quit, and he joined DigiPen and was involved in this government and DigiPen collaboration. Now, at the time, we had economic downturn. When I left Air Force, I actually wanted to join SIA engineering company, but no one's hiring. I tried Singapore Aerospace. They said, yeah, we hire you as an engine guy, you start from the bottom. But I'm not an engine guy. I don't do aircraft engine. I do avionics, radar, radio, and all that. Totally different. And if I'm going to start right from the bottom, I might as well do something else. Right? So I end up doing this. So this guy, crazy lecturer of mine, informed us of this whole thing. That there's this 1-year crash course sponsored by the government and said, you guys have to come in and learn from here. You're going to learn a lot more from here than the course you're in. And for 1 year, it's government sponsored. You don't have to pay a thing. In fact, the government's going to pay you, you get a stipend. And so because of this, I was able to get into DigiPen because of this crazy lecture. So I have no idea where he is now, but I was able to get into the course, and this is what God gave me. And the interesting thing is, halfway through this 1-year crash course, this lecturer did the same thing. Right? He doesn't follow the curriculum, so he's teaching us based on his own experience, the way he wants to teach. There's a disagreement with the class. He's like really angry and he's having a fight with the dean, and then up and left the second time. Very interesting experience in my life. But it's because of this guy, I learned so much. I got all the benefits. I have no idea where he is, what he's doing now. But this is something the Lord can do if you use someone to benefit you. So this is what Lord gave me. And now, to the other side of the coin, what he took away from me. So, halfway through this, he took my niece Oh wait, I lost my knee. I knee problems, you all know. And you took one knee away. I was at home watching TV on the sofa. And when I got up, the next moment I realized, wow, this excruciating pain in my right knee, I think, yeah. It was incredibly painful. And thoughts go through your head. It's like, what happened? Am I going to be crippled for the rest of my life? So I went to see the doctor, do x-rays, and you know. In the end, it's known as it's like arthritis, rather than pneumonia. Chondromalacia patale. So what happens is, under my kneecap, my cartilage, the stuff like what you have in your ear and your nose, I got worn out, and the bone of the kneecap in contact with your thigh bone. So now I understand what arthritis is. Now I know what it is like to struggle with injury, an ailment that never goes away. Now I know what having that health is like. So I learned something from this. However, Christopher Gunn suffers. Our sister Lucy struggles also. And many of us who have problems physically. And then I was told by the doctor, you know, these things come in pairs. It's not going to just be on one side, it's going to be on the other side as well. So you have to be careful. So I've managed my life around my knees quite a bit. With my knees, what was taken from me is exercise. I loved playing basketball, but I cannot ever do that again. Actually, not much. At the time, I still had to do the physical fitness test in the Air Force because you go back for reservists. I thought I was okay, I recovered and then back on the crutches. So I was on crutches 3 times, I believe. My classmates and colleagues were like, what the hell happened to you? I had to tell them the whole story. So after a long struggle with the Air Force, I got the downgrade. Other than knee problems, I have pronated feet as well. So my foot is not flat, it's out. And probably this affects the knee and it goes up. So it hurts when I walk. As of now, my ankles have gotten pretty bad and it hurts. In all this, as Job would say, blessed be the name of God. Okay. What the Lord give now? Back to the other side of the coin. So he gave me a new career after having pulled me out the last one. I never ever thought I'd work for Ubisoft. It was a dream far away. When you're young, you play a lot of video games and you're like, this one, wow, it's fantastic. What they can do, it's like magic. What they can do in a computer. And in this game, I was walking around Jerusalem. Right, with a crowd, and you feel the atmosphere as if you were there. And lo and behold, I'm working for the company, and in the same franchise, in the same line of the game. So, here is how the Lord gave me this career. because I joke with another friend of mine who managed to get in also, and the joke, this line we always go by is, I'm not supposed to be here. And obviously that's the case. If I were to try and get in to Ubisoft now, with the skills I had back then, I would never get in. Never. Because during the 1 year crash course in Digipen, there were many other artists way better than me. And I mean, really good. So this is how the Lord opened the door for me to get in. Now the best artist, he was like a rebel, so to speak. He can do like anything. But he wanted to do things his own way only. So halfway through the course, he quit the course. He finds that the course is too boring for him. It's not what he wants to do. The next best artist is technically very sound. He's pretty good in the art as well. But he's not a team player. When you do any job, like any project, you need to work with everyone around you. But he only wanted to do things his way. And, you know, it's not like Ubisoft isn't watching when they hire new people, because they have a finger in this course. So they get feedback that this guy is not a team player, so he was not chosen to work in the company. The next best artist was a sheep, and she only wanted to do characters. Right? She wanted to design, make, model characters. At that time, when Ubisoft was hiring, said, we don't need character artists. We only want people who do the world. So you have all these barriers for my career taken away. And next is me. You want to do environment? Yes. Of course. And so I got the job. Thank God for that. Because I'm not supposed to be there. That's how it works. That's how the Lord works. Okay. Now, back to the other side of the coin. The Lord is good. Let us read Genesis chapter 37 on this one first. So there are a few characters in the Bible that have helped me through tough times. Verse 17. So this is about Joseph and what happened to him. His brothers betrayed him. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Imagine that. To slay your own brother. Wow. It's beyond me. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Now come therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father. So only one brother had some sense. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and they cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread and lifted their eyes. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, various fiery and bar and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelite, and let not our hand be on him, upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. Somehow, here the reasoning changed a bit. They don't want to slay him. And his brethren were content. Then they passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. So Joseph is about 17 years old. You can see that in verse 2. So how did Joseph feel? Because realizing that it's your own family that's doing this to you. I often thought about this. I often wondered about this. Because other than our own flesh and blood family, we are the family of Christ here. And the things we do with one another, maybe. How do you feel? So, he was a slave for many years, Joseph. He had many years to think about this. But he knew there's a purpose. And finally, when he met his brothers again, he was already Pharaoh's right-hand man. Genesis 45, verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold to Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be hearing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and save your lives by greatest deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God that made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So now, being a right-hand man, and Joseph is forgiving his parents, knowing the purpose of God. And that is the Lord that made him go through this alone in this path. And he was alone. He was alone the whole way. So this brings me to this point. A painful one for myself. It sounds like miscarriage, but it's mismarriage. Those who know me, what happened to me 6 years ago was a mismarriage. But it felt like what Joseph went through in all this. A betrayal by the woman, supposedly your own family, your own kind. I felt alone for a long, long time. Since 6 years. It still hurts. Wasted 10 years before that. Wasted a lot of money. You book a HDB apartment and you waste a lot of money. You know, you booking fees and all that, all wasted. But there has to be a purpose to all this, which I did not yet see. Why I walk this path. Maybe not as long as Joseph. This is like really long. This is not the half of it. You know, Brother Brent Ben Piper, my friend in the States. I feel so bad for him when he had to go through his situation. I feel so bad. I don't know if the pastors realize it. But God bless him today. He just got married, for your knowledge. It's Saturday over there. I think the ceremony is over. He just got married, just. And that makes me very happy. I'm very happy for him. In consolation, the other character in the Bible that I lean to for support, that's with Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in the houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, and Job sent and sanctified them. But Job was really, really rich. And rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Now you can see in this verse that it is God that brought up the topic of Job to Satan, not the other way around. Because God's about to do something. It's not like Satan is the one that is trying to do something. But he's always trying to do something, but not to Job at this moment. It's the Lord that initiated this. Verse 9. And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for not? Has not thou made and hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, and thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his abundance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from his presence of the Lord. So I'm going to skip. You know what happened? His sons and daughters were slain, and he lost all that he had. Literally lost all he had. All the riches and his children. So, go to verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He's in grief. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And verse 22 is one that I look at and has helped me. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, when you go through big trouble, some of us may just lash out with our tongue and fight God. Let us not charge God foolishly.
Amen.
This verse has been very important to me. So after what happened to me, verse 21 and 22 of Job chapter 1 were very important to me. And I often thought of what went through Job's mind and what went through Joseph's mind when they were in deep in this dark stage of their lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let's go back to the other side of the coin. The Lord gave us. So after having lost all this taken away from me, the Lord gave me other things. And the most notable one is an HDB apartment, right? I got my own place. I've been there for 1 week, not sleeping well because I'm not used to the place. It's an apartment, not yet a home for now. But the main thing is HDB apartment anybody can get. Almost. You have enough money, you throw it in. Get a loan. But the Lord gave me this apartment loan free. And that is huge. CPF, waiting, I'm really in my 40s. He's just sleeping there. A lot of my money was prepared for, you know, when I was to get married, and then you would have to prepare for your loan, and you have to pay off your mortgage, bills. But all that did not happen. So the Lord gave me this apartment, and it was only not too long ago that the government decided to say all those who are single and above 35 years old are allowed to get two-bedroom apartments, BTO. Before that, this ruling did not exist. And it came about for my benefit, maybe. So I thank God for this blessing. Other than playing the guitar, I play the drums. I never thought I could play well enough, but I pick it up. I never go for formal lessons again. I just play. It just comes naturally. So I thank God for that blessing as well. Now there are some things that the Lord take. Very good. So this is something else that he took from me. He takes away my pride. When you're young, you want to achieve this, you want to achieve that. I can do this, I can do that. But after you have lost a lot of things, you realize that all these achievements are vanity. And the book of Ecclesiastes has become one of my favorite books. Because we are striving for what? Because naked you come and naked you will return. What's the point? And in return he gave me humility. I've learned that now I'm not, definitely not the most important person. I'm the least. Like Paul would say, I'm the least of all people. I'll just finish by reading Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've become a very inconfident person ever since 6 years ago. I no longer know what I want, nor do I really know what I need sometimes. I kind of throw out my life with my hands and yeah, you decide, Lord, you know, should I do this, should I do that? I don't know. Because this is a result of, because what I wanted was all taken away, and I fear to ask for something stupid. I fear to ask for something that will blow up in my face again. I fear to ask for the wrong thing. So maybe this is a wrong way of thinking, but I think to live life in the lands of the world is much better. So I've learned so much. I hope one day I'll see the light at the end of this tunnel and see what it's all about, why I went through this. Job went through it all and he gave me more insight and reflection on himself. Joseph became the head of Pharaoh and saved the family from the famine. That was his purpose. And I do not understand mine yet, and I don't know when I will see it. But I pray your paths are not as painful. And in all things, blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we sing one song? I want to sing this song. And it's around me. 257. Okay, rise and sing.
Praise the Lord, you may be seated. Yeah, we all go through trials, and here we all go through a lot of pain in life. And the worst thing is when you are betrayed by your own family members, not just blood. I always said that a lot of us, you know, we put our family blood and flesh first. Flesh and blood, flesh and blood first in our, in any situation, you know. And I always said that you may be called Tan, Gan, Lin, Lee, whatever your name may be. But you're first in the family, is in the family of God. If you cannot treat your brother and sister in Christ as your own, more than your own flesh and blood, then you have put your family first and not the family of God first in life. The denomination always said charity begins at home. They will tell you, always telling you this. But charity begins from heaven above. And it came down into the life of His people. You know, God's people. And it's not just your own brother and sister that you should think about first. When you do that, that's why we have a lot of failure in life. We don't think about others and how we treat them. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, in the case of Job, he didn't say anything, but his wife, you know, wanted to curse God and die. Yep, I think that is probably what most will never have the realization of an experience close to God would have said that. And many times in situations like that, a lot of times people are told to give excuses, they lie. And I hear a lot of rumors going on from that other side about what happened. And many times a lot of things, there are a lot of lies being said. And I said this so much so that one of the pastors from that answer came to apologize to me for believing the lie that he heard about me. Because he finally realized that he has been done the same on him. You know, the Bible says your sin will find you out. You can hide it. You can lie about it. And other people will believe about it. In fact, a long, long time brother who had not been in our fellowship for a long time talked to me on the phone one day and said certain things pertaining to brother, my son's case. I said, that's not what happened. But they believed it. And they put it on the blame upon him. Now, whatever happened in this fellowship, the blame is upon brother again. Those that left, they know why they leave, because they did this, Bhagavan did not do this, and so on and so forth. They must understand that there is a lot of things going on that you do not know. You only know yourself the story. You don't like me, why you don't like me? Because you want to undermine the church. And I tell you the truth, you don't like it, you lie, you keep on covering it up and say all kinds of things to your family, to your other people that you love. My goodness. If you're married to a man, be honest enough, sincere enough. That's why I always said this. From the beginning, when I know Brother Abraham's ministry, and I read where he said the angel told him, if you will be sincere. And that's what hits me. That is what it is. You ought to be. He said, Lord, that's what I ought to be all the time. The time when I first came to Mass in 1971. He said, Allah, I want to be sincere in everything that I do. But you see that a lot of ministers are not sincere. They say all kinds of lies about me and all sorts of things. Even on the internet, you can see it. A lot of them. So don't play with your own integrity as a person, as a believer. Look at Job. He's a millionaire. If you want to talk about today's standard, he's a millionaire. And the Lord wants to prove it. God doesn't have to prove to save him, you know. But God knew about the man Job. He knew what he would do. And he let Satan do everything to him. But in the end of it, God blessed how many more times the thing that he had taken away from Job. You know, a lot of things have got to take on. I mean, me, I went through a lot of trial, a lot of things was taken away from me too. It stripped me of my the things that I wanted to do, what I desired to do. But every time, I always pray from the very beginning, Lord, when I was in the denomination, when the Lord, I returned back to God, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I fast and pray, and I said, Lord, yes, I'm in your hand. I know you have over for me to do in the future. But I don't know when in the future. Because that time I was still, you know, in school. Then working as a nurse. Which I do not want to be actually. I wanted to be an aircraft technician. It was taken away from me too. You know. I want to do what I wanted to do. But you know, it's in God's hand, right? So every one of us go through life like this. So blessed be the name of the Lord. So I give the pulpit now to Brother Lawrence to let him share whatever he's, you know, Lord put on his heart. And I pray that every one of those brothers, you have a chance to share your experience, what you go through life. Because you do not understand what you go through, what you have went through, when you share it with the Bible and how the Bible helped you, then you are also giving us a blessing. Right, if here's a passage of scripture in the Bible that means a lot of whole thing to you, because you experience something with it, you know, it means a lot of things to you, because it's a revelation to you, it's a blessing to every one of us. There's a Paul said, when you have a revelation, come together, share it. If you have a testimony, come together, share it. You know, if you have a prophecy, come together and you share it. Amen? Alright, Brother Lawrence.
Actually, this morning I want to share something which is similar to what Brother Zuel was sharing. I think it was just a coincidence. I actually want to talk about something about Job. This morning I just want to learn this verse. From Job 28:28, and unto Nan he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Amen. So, we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And it's in Proverbs and Psalms, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, when we talk about beginning, it's like, when you first go to school, you have to learn all the alphabet before you can read and write. So without this alphabet, we can't start. Even in music, you must start with Do Re Mi before you can start learning music, right? So if you don't have the fear of the Lord, I think nowadays we find that there's a lack of fear of the Lord these days among many Christians that I know, because this is one of the most important thing that we fail to realize. And I find something very amazing and astounding about Job's life. It was described that Job was perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect in the sense that I can't explain this, but maybe because he lived in a time where it's different from, I mean, we are way ahead of Job in terms of knowledge and revelation, because we hear a lot of truth, many truth these days. So, in the case of Job, he did not have this privilege. So, I think, for me, what I feel is that he may, I think it's about the light that he has. Right. I mean, we all have the light. I can't walk in your light, you can't walk in my light. So, in the light that he has, it was perfect. And that's what God considers perfect. Upright, he was honest, and then he feared God. And the subject that I want to speak today is about the fear of the Lord and the purpose of destiny. And because if you know, how do you know that God loves you? He tests you, right? He tests you, he rebukes you, in a meeting or in the preaching of God's word, or even when you read God's word, sometimes you get a rebuke, so that you know that God loves you because He rebukes you. You know that you are the son of God because He corrects you, He chastises you. And without this chastisement, we will not know. We will not know that God actually cares for us or loves us. So with this, we realize that because He loves us, like the book of Revelation saying, that as many as I love, I rebuke. So if He doesn't rebuke us, there's something wrong with us. We've got to check our life. Hey, why? I do anything wrong and He doesn't rebuke me. Just like in the world. I mean, the sinners don't feel anything because there's no rebuke. But when you are in Christ, there's a rebuke, there's correction and chastisement. We go through a lot of things in this life. So I just want to share a little bit about Job, because I find Job is one book, is the one of the oldest book written. And when God first wanted to communicate with men, He actually wrote this book about a man called Job. You see, his name was Job, and he was perfect and upright, and that fears God. Because without the fear of God, I mean, how do you know you have the fear of God unless you have you get wisdom? I mean, Job was living not like the time that we are living. He was way past, around, I don't know when it was written. I think it was written maybe, it was written before Genesis.
Genesis.
It's the oldest book. Yeah, it's the oldest book. And when God first wanted to communicate with man, you know, He found something about Job's life. And this thing was so astounding. I mean, he lived before Calvary, way before. I mean, he doesn't know about the Holy Spirit, he doesn't know about being born again, and yet, you know, you see the life that he lived. And then what is tremendous that I find is his faith. He has such a tremendous faith, you know. I mean, as Brother Zoran just quote, "Naked came I from out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither."
Right.
I mean, he could have such wisdom, such knowledge, you know, that I don't imagine myself to have this type of knowledge, because sometimes I think that I myself may be lack of the fear of the Lord. But Job, just imagine living before all this. He doesn't know about Pentecost and all this. He doesn't, I mean, he was living way before. So he's not even connected to Israel. Just imagine that. I mean, he was far different from what we see, from all that we have read in the whole first chapter, even the second chapter. And of course, Satan wanted to find fault with him, accusing him of all kinds of things. Saying, "Oh, because you, God prospered you," and all these things, you know. And to point out all his mistakes and all this. But he couldn't find his character, because God would value the character of man, and he couldn't find fault with his character. So what he looks for is his riches. So what Job suffered so much, you know, he did so much of this, damage to attack. I mean, not Job, I mean Satan attacked Job so much, you know, one after another, as you can read in all the verses in chapter 1, right? From the beginning, he actually attacked his asses, all the properties, all the cattle, then followed by his family and all. But Satan knew something, because God actually put a hedge around him. So when God put a hedge around him, it's difficult for Satan to attack him. So as long as God removes the hedge and allow Satan to be attacked, right, then there's a chance for Satan to attack him. So what he did was, after attacking him in every trials that he faced, is a test. Actually, it's a test for Job. From the beginning, we see even Adam and Eve was tested. God put them in the garden and test their obedience. But God gave them a choice, obedience by choice, whether they want to obey God or not to obey God. So many of these things that is happening to us is all the purpose of testing us on this earth. Even all the righteous men that you see in the Bible, Joseph, I think Abraham, Paul also was tested, you know. He had a thorn in the flesh and all this, because he had such abundance of knowledge that he might get swell headed. So God had to test him. If God don't test him, then the pride will go on and on. So he discovered that with grace, he could overcome all this, you know. Just like I said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I mean, even Paul had to go through all this in his lifetime. So I believe that in this hour of time that we live, because we are almost approaching the second coming of the Lord, I believe that God has to test us and get us ready for His coming, and that we may understand what is the kind of life that we have to live.
Amen.
So, that's why I believe that many things that we have, like even we always preach about repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If we don't have this foundation, it's a foundation. I mean, God used Peter, the apostle, God used apostles to lay the foundation for the next 2,000 years, and it's for our benefit. You know, it's all for our benefit, so that we can walk in a way that is pleasing to God. So, without this proper foundation, then our life will definitely be a shallow Christian life. Because, like we always, my God always explained to us that why many Christians they reject the word of God. They have a lot of experience, they have a lot of visions and all this, but what's the use? I mean, if you reject God's word, like what Brother Ben say, you reject God's word, then there's no reason for all this learning about God's word, you see? So, because with the word of God, it will strengthen us in our walk with Him. So, I know that it's not so easy. Sometimes, some brothers told me that, you know, there's a battle in our Christian life. Because if you don't spend your time, if you say that you believe in the Word of God, and your action doesn't follow that, what Brother Clement was saying last week, because faith without works is dead, right? So if there is no, what you say that you believe, but you do not have any action, that is inconsistent with your faith. So you need to have that that faith that corresponds with your work. So without that, then what are we all believing, right? Mm-hmm. So you must know what's your purpose of being here. So I just want to share a little bit about actually for me, I was a young convert. I actually don't understand a lot of God's word. So because of that, many of the tests that I went through, I failed many tests, because I didn't even know what is born again in those days. So I never heard about salvation, I never heard about Calvary and all this. So it's only when much later, because all when I came the message, all they quote was about what Brother Ben said. Hardly there were people who was interested in God's word.
Mm-hmm.
So because of this, I feel in my trials and all the tests that, you know, I was at a disadvantage. So sometimes it's because of the lack of understanding of God's word. That's why you don't understand about sanctification. You know, you do not know how to live your life. So many times when I was in the message, I always people say, oh, you have to give up all this drinking and smoking and gambling and every kind of thing that they teach us, lah. But how do you overcome all this? You mean just you become a good Christian but just by doing this? It's not true, right? So it goes beyond that. You need to be sanctified, and you do not know what is sanctification, you know, then you cannot have an effective walk with God. You know, again, in Romans you read that sanctification means, you know, being free from sin. And it's not your work, you know, it's the work of God. I mean, God requires our part also, you know. It's not just our part alone. He needs our cooperation to live in sanctification. So, I just want to say something about this. Genesis, actually, fear of the Lord comes in way back in Genesis chapter 20, and Genesis chapter 20, verse 11. Actually, I did not have much time to go through some verses because I also, Bergan told me sometime back to use a concordance, so I had to rush it up with the concordance. So, 11, it says here, Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake." So, because it's about the story about this, the lie that Abraham told Abimelech that Sarah was her sister. So because of this, you know, this is what happens when you tell a lie and say, you see what happened to Abraham. But Abraham, by revelation, knew that, you know, that place that he was in, there was no fear of God. It's just like today, if there's no fear of God in our life, we'll do a lot of stupid things in life. For example, you know, I mean, we always know that we live in a world where Christians spend so much time in cell phone and videos that the fear of God is no longer in us. No? It's quite dangerous when you spend so much time that you have no time for God, you know, and even you don't even recognize the presence of God in our life. You know? I mean, there's so much false teaching going on today, you know, that people don't fear. They thought Christianity is all about, well, making money and all about good health. Of course, we want money. We need money, of course. We use money. We need money. I'm not saying that money is wrong, but it's the love of money that's wrong. So, the picture has given people the wrong idea, the wrong picture that God is crazy after your money. You know, I mean, if this people, Christians, are just thinking about money, then, you know, we tend to focus so much on one thing, and then other things in the Word of God we have missed a lot, you know. There's so much that we need to learn about the Word of God today. So, I just want to thank God for many of His blessings that He has given us. Yeah. Because I find that sometimes, I mean, when I read God's Word, like the book of Job, I find that Satan also had been learning something about the nature of man for thousands of years. That's why, I mean, when the fall of Adam and Eve, Satan has been watching, or God has also been watching man's character. And Satan has also been studying man's character, because he likes to go around and accusing people, accusing his. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren day and night. He doesn't rest, you know. He's 24/7, he's always moving around. He just read in the book of Job, he just roam around the earth. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So Satan is so, I mean, we are living in an age where it's very, in this particular time we live, it's very difficult to be a Christian, you know. So much so that there's so much trials, persecution that's going around this world. You know, brother, I won't want to mention the country that he's in, but I spoke to him quite some time back, and he suffered a lot of persecution in his own country, and it's so difficult when they do not treat you well, they treat you very badly, and it's so hard to get a job. You know, in some countries, it's not so easy to get. It's not like you got a qualification and you can get a job. They, if you are a Christian, and they know that, you know, by your name, unless you give some names that is maybe a Chinese name, people will not recognize it. You don't have a Christian name, then, you know, probably people will not recognize that you are a Christian. But because you use his name, I have to mention the name of the brother in Malaysia. Like, he said that, you know, he was so persecuted that, you know, he would apply a job every time he was, you know, he couldn't get the job that he wanted. So, we here in this country were very fortunate that, you know, it doesn't really matter whether you are Christian or not, you still get a job, you see? So, there are things that I find, I mean, so amazing about this book. that God used Job for a purpose, so that it makes us to realize why God actually wants to test us. Because I think in the book of Jeremiah it says that God tests the righteous. You know, he tests all the righteous. If you want to live righteous, of course, if you're not interested in living a righteous life, you won't get a test. You won't even bother about all these things. Right? So Job was a man where he was tested in these fiery trials. It's really amazing that he could say things like, when you look at the verse in, the wife was actually used by Satan to insinuate him, to say, insinuate means to suggest something, say, hey you, why you want to hold your integrity, you know, after this happened, because you know that chapter 2 verse 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, and that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that he fears God and eschews evil, and still he hold fast his integrity, although thou move me against him to destroy him and without a cause. I mean, God is saying, you know, you incited me. Incited means you wanted God to do something bad to him, like incited. He moved me. You know, he says that you moved me to against him to destroy him without no rhyme or reason, right? You asked me to do this to him, tested him one test after another. So it is through all these tests that we begin to learn a lot of things in this life. Because without a test as a Christian, we will never grow. Because every year, I mean, as for me, I all of us have to check, you know, we can't check for each other, all of us, I have to check myself, and every year we have to see whether we are growing or not. We will see, we will ask ourselves, have we learned something every year, you know, are we growing? If we are not growing, we remain stagnant. Year after year, we just remain stagnant on what? There's no purpose in life, because the purpose of life is we learn something as we go along. So Job was someone that have gone through with the one of the amazing thing about his life is that he, in spite of all this, he can, just like verse 12 say, he can say these words, blessed be the name of God. It is amazing. If you look at some of the things that he says, unbelievable, huh? You can't believe it, man. Like Job 23:10, you look at Job 23:10, he says, but he knows the way that I take. When he tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That means Job knew that this testing is important to his life. Yeah? Mm-hmm. He just could imagine that he went through so many trials and yet he could say such things now. The early part where he went through, this is also chapter 19, verse 25, Job chapter 19. It says that, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at a later day upon the earth. So, he already, like, God has shown him something, you know, like, even like, you know, that in the New Testament, he was already prophesying about the second coming of the Lord. You know that part in book of Exodus, in one of the verses, Jude, yeah. He was already seeing something way beyond. So I believe all these men of God, whether it's Enoch, whether it's Abraham, Jacob, and all this, they've gone through so much in life, you know. I mean, so much tests. Compared to, I just assure myself, I just don't, not even a fraction of what they have gone through. Many of them, even St. Paul, how he accomplished so much in a short time, you know. And I stand here also, not even a fraction of what they are going through, the test that they went through, fiery those fiery tests. And then, of course, the greatest test ever in man was, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was the only man that went through the toughest and the greatest of all, because he went to Gethsemane before he went to Calvary. And we talk test today, I won't be here, so right? I mean, when we think about Noah, the world stands today, and we are the descendants of Noah because of what the Bible describes him as, preacher of righteousness. So because of righteousness, the world stands today. I mean, at that time, there was only 8% only that listens to him. The rest of the people are not interested. So, with only 8 that comprise only the members of his family, yet he saved this world. And that's why we are here today. You know? So, Jesus also encountered some of the greatest tests, you know, he said, and he always likes to bring the word. He said, he told Satan he was tested, you know, and he says, it's written, it's written, it's written. 3 times he said that now. Because Satan also knew the word. So that's why Jesus himself had to counter him with the word of God. You know. So it is a place of what God has even allowed his son to go through this test. So how about us? We also go through. So maybe our test may not be, because God doesn't test us all at a different level. Not everybody will be tested the same way. So when we are tested, it's because he loves us. If he doesn't love us, then we will never be tested. Yeah. So, as I already said, that it's according to the light given to us that we are expected to live by. So, each of us according to the light we have, not according to another person's light. So, it's important for us to know this in the day that we are living. So, I hope I'm not taking so much of time. Yeah. So, see, I'm glad that Job in his time realized that everything that he has in his lifetime, that what God has given him, is just temporarily, it's just for alone. Like someone says, we are living here in a borrowed time, alone, that he has just to use whatever he has for God giving him. He cannot bring all this along. He can't bring his cattle and his donkeys and his asses. He can't bring all this along with him. He has to leave all this. How about his son? He also has to leave his son also. You know, all this is just a temporary loan for him. So, what I'm saying is, when life is over, he has to say sayonara to all these things, right? Right. Say goodbye to all these things. So, yeah, so I believe that this test that I'm just saying about is, we all be tested, so we might as well prepare for this test that we are going to be tested, you know, in the days to come. So I'm very thankful that God helped us along this way, not to be discouraged, you know. I'm encouraged by God's word very much. Each day, he helped me, you know. We have to take up cross, of course, every day, daily, you know, it's not just one day. Because, I mean, he doesn't say that you read the Bible every day, but you see, take up the cross every day. I mean, the cross is not something easy. When you say about cross, in those days, it's like a sentence of death, sentence to death. So you're carrying that cross. So, when we carry the cross, it's quite not easy. Nobody likes to carry the cross. I mean, nobody likes to go to trials in life. But it's through this trial that we learn the love and the mercies of God in our life. So, I believe that we should continue loving God's word more and more each day. So, I want to thank the Lord for this time of sharing, just a little bit. I know that it's not so easy for us to think that, no, we can't compare ourselves with Job, that's for sure. I mean, we can't compare, we are not St. Paul, but God give us something that, I mean, Paul had a lot of revelation, he went up to the third heavens and all this. We can't compare, we have our own trials in a different way from what Paul has, from what Peter has. And Peter also had a trial, you know, his trial was his faith, you know. So God was, Christ, before he was crucified, he actually told Peter, he said that when you are strengthened, your brethren, you know, to, because the prayer that God, he knew that he would fall, you know, and he prayed for him, you know, he said Satan would save him, right? So he prayed that Peter would not fail to save him. You know, he did not pray that he would not fall. He prayed that he would not fail. So it is the attitude that we take after we fall, you know. If you got a wrong attitude after you fall, then you got a lot of problems in this life. Because if our faith is strengthened, we have to ask the Lord to strengthen our faith. And faith is something that is something we can say is a leaning. We need to lean towards God. And we don't learn to lean towards God every day, every moment, morning, noon and night. We need to kind of put our trust in everything that we do. Which is, of course, a difficult thing, especially if you're just born again. You know, it's not an easy thing. That's why when Peter says that as newborn babes, we must desire the sincere milk of God's word. If you don't desire God's word, then you must ask yourself, are you really born again? You know, because just like a baby, right? If baby doesn't cry for milk, I think every mother will be worried, hey, what happened to my child? Huh? What happens if baby doesn't cry for milk after something, the baby will die. So we will, spiritually speaking, we will also be dry up sooner or later. So I want to just thank God for all the revelations that he has given to us, each and one, and also for what Bergan has shared with us for so many years during the meetings and the rebukes. And all this are for a purpose. Rebukes and corrections are all purpose when during the preaching of God's word. And even in meetings that we hear some of these rebukes. So it will help us in our walk with God. So I just want to thank the Lord for this time that I to go through. I mean, I used to hear this old song. You know, it says that we used to sing this song, some to the waters, some to the flood, and some to the some to the waters, some to the fire, and some to great sorrows. But God gave them a song, and this trials that everyone face in this song itself, it tells us that, you know, everyone goes through different trials in life. So in closing, I want to say something that we should not be discouraged when we face trials in this life. It is a blessing that we never know what will come up next. The next blessing we will never know, because we have to trust God in everything that we do.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you, man. You know, nothing is a coincidence to me. We always use the word coincidence. The use of book of Job, right? And I remember the first session when Brother Rowley spoke, I mean Brother Henry and Brother Rowley, and then how they kind of come together, and Brother Clement and Brother Yingfang, you know. So I believe the Lord is teaching us lessons, and every one of you too. So you didn't take much time, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, what I want. So when you see that you're going more than 40 minutes, try to cut it down quickly. That's one of the things. Instead of dragging on, you did it well. And Yeah, Brother Lawrence is very honest enough to say what he said just now, and I think that it is over the years that I knew him, you know, past those many years. It's true that, you know, you get to a place where you go to a church where they quote to you so often, but Brother Branham said this, Brother Branham said that, you learn nothing. Is that right, Sister Lucy Tang? Is it true? You didn't hear what I'm saying. Yeah. So when you know, when you go to a church, when you say, oh, Brother Branham said this, let me read you to a quote, Brother Branham said this, you know, this, and nothing much is used of the Bible, you will never know the answer. You will never get revelation as to the truth. And you continue to do that, continue to do that. If the Bible is not a foundation, then we are made most miserable. It will not be much different from the denomination who holds to a creed or a dogma, right? It's the same. Isn't it true? Yeah. I remember in Ukraine, what is so in the Soviet conquered Ukraine, a lot of those people in Ukraine, they are Catholic. And they hold on to the icon. And because the icon usually gold plated or made of gold, you know. You understand, right? So even the cross, they want to have it going on. It's the Soviet Red, they want to take those icons. You see, to them, this icon is so valuable. They'll kiss it and they'll do the sign of the cross and everything like that. So when you are trapped in a tradition, that's what you are. Right? Amen? So, one of the things that, and I said this, for the brothers, more than the sisters. The brothers is very important in church that if you do not know your Bible, you call yourself Christian, you don't read the Bible, you don't study, you are terrible. And one of the things, that's why I'm a mess. Not because my life is a mess, no. I'm a man who, not like Brother James Verumo. You remember Brother James Verumo? The first time when he came, he will always have a book. And when I take a look at the book, he's very systematic. He will write everything, or his note, his everything, page by page, and he knows what page to turn to. Alright? For me, I would just, whenever I, you know, inspiration comes, I take a piece of paper, whether it be the scrap paper, you call that, right? And I'll just write a note, you know, right now. Or at home, and I have, usually now I have a book, a notebook on my bed. In the night when I was praying, I take out that, in the night I couldn't see because the light's off, I'll write a pen, like, you know, a few words, and so in the morning I refer to that. You know, so my second note is, I think you've always seen it. I have folders of a little pocket thing, right? I have six or seven of them with that. All the scrap paper. And when I look at it, I say, boy, what is this sermon all about? You know, it's all over the place. You understand? So usually I have to refer to it. Earlier years, yeah, maybe I write, but the more they get inspiration, whenever you're on the train or bus or all this, you get it, you just, whatever you can find in the bike, write it down or try to put it down in your head and go home, clear it on a piece of paper. You know, and then you can build your own little sermon out of that. Alright? From whatever note the Lord given you. And over time you get your experience, you take all those together. Amen? Alright? So we thank God for that. We will have a song.